Welcome to the Sportscast, March 6th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also go to thesportscast.net for the latest and also get our app, the Sportscast for iOS. NBA happened this past weekend. A lot of good games yesterday. John Morant in trouble. And, of course, my favorite part of the weekend, which we'll talk about a little bit towards the end, Liverpool thrashing Man United 7-0, a touchdown in American sports language. Join us all the way from upstate. No, all the way from the Northeast. Hal Phillips, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santi. I've got my warm weather gear on today because it's cold here. It's very cold.
It has been warm over here, by the way. It is like hitting 90 degrees. I might have to pull out my shorts already.
90 degrees in Florida in March. I guess, well, it can. That's not unusual, is it?
You know something? I don't keep weather records, but it's probably not unusual.
Okay. You're just taunting me. I understand that, too.
It was cold a few weeks ago. A little cool, chilly in the mornings, but I don't know. We'll see if another cold front happens. So big news for the Memphis Grizzlies star, Ja Morant, was caught on Saturday morning after their losing against the Nuggets. Ja Morant's a guard. He's an all-star guard, was shirtless and rapping along with music. Could be seen holding up, appeared to be a handgun with his hand. And he put it on his Instagram Live, which I'll show a picture here on our screen here. If you're not seeing it on the podcast, it's Ja Morant on a live, and he holds a handgun. This is after the game against the Pacers. And he might not be playing for at least two games, but then I'm hearing 50 games. So this could be very, very tough on this guy.
We don't know what happened, Santi. We just don't. And the mind reels when you consider what might have happened. Because I've heard those same rumors of the official party line from the NBA has been a two-game suspension. But this is very unusual for the league to step in and say, you need to step back from the game for a couple. If it was more discreet, I think the NBA and Adam Silver might have said, hey, Memphis and Ja, you've got a leg injury. Load management is so prevalent now that you could hide the guy. But something else is going on here. We don't know what it is. But these rumors have been going on for a couple months now. Stories about entourages and gun waving in public places. A couple things come to mind. One is, I thought that young people like Ja Morant were more media savvy, especially with regard to Instagram and other social media channels. What is served? Who is served? What's the deal with putting a picture like that up on your live Instagram feed if you're not just trying to get yourself in trouble? But the other more salient point is, I think Memphis was 31 and 15 or something like that. They've lost a bunch of games. There's other issues here. They finally got healthy. Steven Adams is out. He's not that good. They've got big issues.
Yeah, big issues. And then, of course, Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are playoff contenders. They definitely made a good run a year ago against the Warriors. But the Warriors obviously beat them in six games. So this is a lot of big ramifications. Adam Silver hasn't mentioned anything about it. But I guess the NBA is conducting an investigation into what happened. Coach Taylor Jenkins has said something already publicly. He says, we have said that it's going to be at least these two games. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing healing process. It's really not. It's a timetable situation. So a lot of question marks. What's going to happen? Let me show you the table for the Western Conference and where the Grizzlies are sitting at, and it is they're at number two. Wow, they're at number two in the table, of course, and right behind the Denver Nuggets, which are having a remarkable season so far. Then Kings, Suns, Warriors, Timberwolves, and Mavericks, and Clippers. I don't know how this could – I mean, at worst-case scenario, they could still make the playoffs, but they could drop significantly because what are the Grizzlies without Ja Morant?
They're not the same team. They're still a pretty good team. I think the party line about Memphis and out of Memphis was when Desmond Bane came back, and he's been hurt for about 6-8 weeks in the middle of the season. He's back now. This team was going to take off, but they've done no such thing. If they were 38-25, as the table just showed, you know, they're a 500 team or slightly less than that over the last couple months. And they were, you know, the de facto number two team behind the Nuggets in this conference for a long time. I don't see them that way anymore. They're in disarray, and then this happens. They still can't rebound as long as Steven Adams is not playing for them. They're in big trouble. And I don't know that Bane and Dylan Brooks as playoff contending wings are going to do it for you. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a player. Ja Morant is one of the great point guards in the game. But it's not clear to me that their roster is really as excellent as we thought. It's always been deep. They go very deep. But I'm not sure that they're strong enough on the wings, which are where playoff, series are won these days.
Yeah, that will open up the West because the West was already tight. So a lot of the teams that are below are thinking, wow, this could be an opportunity for us. And then let me make a correction. It was not against the Pacers. They played against the Denver Nuggets on Saturday night. So, Friday evening. So, which is what happened. But hey, Nuggets are looking good as well. Besides that, we had a lot of good games yesterday on Sunday. They're on two on ABC, actually. Mm-hmm. And we had the big one, which was Phoenix versus the Mavericks, where the Suns beat them 130-126. Kyrie Irving had 30 points. Luka had 34 points as well. Durant had 37 points. So this is pretty – I mean, these two teams are pretty interesting because they had, had to deal with trades with Brooklyn, but I think for now Phoenix has won this matchup.
Yes, I think if you go back to the table, Santi, and see where everything is in Western Conference, it's pretty astonishing just how tight things are. If I'm not mistaken, the Clippers are about the fifth seed right now. They have 31 losses. The 13th team in the league has 34 losses. Look at the Trailblazers. They're 30-34. They're three games actually behind the Warriors in the fifth spot. That's astonishing. Eight teams basically vying for nine teams for four spots. I mean, including the play-in. It's just going to be a crazy, crazy finish to the season. But to get back to the Suns, not only are they above that fray to a certain extent, they're a different team with Durant in tow. They're big. That's what I noticed watching this game. They're much bigger than they were. Ayton is a good, solid center and a great rebounder, and I think underrated. But now they've got another 7-footer playing next to him. All of a sudden, an undersized team that was playing Mikal Bridges and people like that at the four are now playing a 7-footer who can get outside and block shots and score at will, obviously. And then they have the options that nobody else, I think, has in the West when it comes to scoring. They've got Devin Booker, might be the best shooting guard in the West. They've got Chris Paul, so long as he's healthy. We talked about the Lakers being in a situation before and after the trade that was pretty much the same. One injury to LeBron or AD, and they're screwed. Now, CP3 goes down, it's not going to help the Suns. But if he goes down for a month or a few weeks late in the season, they're going to be okay. They're going to still win games. They got too many options now. And if he's healthy for the playoffs, watch out, because I think they're better than the Warriors and the Nuggets as constituted. The one problem is they're a little thin. They traded away a lot of guys. They're playing They're playing that dude, Ish Wainwright, who used to play football for the Bears. He's a nice little player, but he's getting a lot of minutes. And so is Torrey Craig. And these aren't high-quality basketball players. T.J. Warren is back in Phoenix now. He can shoot. I'm not sure he can play enough defense to help them in that way. But they're not. They traded away a lot to get Durant, and they're going to have to make the best of it. But their starting five, like the Warriors, is pretty darn good.
Yeah, of course. As how was mentioned, Hish Wainwright, 12 points. I did not know he played football. Interesting
point. If you take a look at him, you can tell he's big as a house.
I will have to click on it a little bit after. Booker, 36 points. Of course, he's the head one. He had a little bit of a scuffle with Luka during the game, so that was quite interesting. DeAndre Ayton, center, with 9 points. And, of course, Durant, 37 points. Is this going to be Durant's team, how you feel it, or is going to share it with Booker? Because we know Chris Paul, he's not what the Chris Paul we knew a couple years ago. But is this going to be KD's team now?
No, I disagree with you. See, any team that Chris Paul plays on is Chris Paul's team. And I think that Booker knows that, and I think that Durant accepts it and knew it going in. And I think he wants to come in and win another championship, and CP3 is the guy that's going to make it happen. I don't think that way at all. And I would point out that, yes, Ayton had 9 points. He had 16 boards yesterday. He's a beast. And now he's got someone next to him who can actually rebound and go ahead and protect the rim as well. He's going to be even better. Dallas, interesting team right now. They're just going to try to outscore you. Kyrie has been amazing. I mean, Kyrie is, I think,
he looked good
yesterday. Mentally ill, but an amazing basketball player. I mean, I love watching Kyrie, but he's insane. And eventually he'll blow it up. But for now, they're going to try to outscore you. And they have the same problem that Phoenix has in that they're really thin. They traded away so much to get him. They're really trying to get by with Luka, Kyrie, and Christian Wood coming off the bench to score. Those are only three people who have any offensive capability. Josh Howard is this that's not his name. Josh Howard is the guy who played for the Mavericks back in the 2010s. Josh Green. Is it Josh Green?
Yeah, he's Josh Green, number 8. 0 points yesterday. Yeah.
He's a good young player. Yeah, he went. He had, you know, no points. 28 minutes, no points. Reggie Bullock, 39 minutes, 3 rebounds, 10 points. I mean, Reggie Bullock is a good guy to bring off the bench to defend people, to shoot the three. Not a quality starter. So look at that lineup. They just don't have a whole lot. Tim Hardaway has been counted upon to score for good teams for about a decade now. He can't do it. Not when it counts. So it's going to be very interesting to see how much they can get, you know, out of this lineup. Like the Suns, when you make a big trade for a stud and you empty the cabinet to get him, well, then you have to play with an empty cabinet. And both these teams have a very thin roster.
Yeah, very thin rosters. That's what you do when you give up, you know, for a great player. Your role player is kind of diminished a bit. As how I was saying, Irvin had 30 points, great game. Luka, 34. Tim Hardaway Jr., 21, still has to score a lot of points. And Christian Wood with 17 points. Quite an interesting matchup. Let's look at the standings again and where these guys are at. Suns, I think they're in the sixth spot. Fourth spot. Four. And Mavericks at seventh spot, which the play-in starts from 7 to 10, I believe. So you don't want to go into – I mean, the play-in is not that bad. What do you think about the play-in? I think it's a interesting concept. I don't mind, but what are your thoughts over that?
I don't mind it. I think it does keep a certain amount of teams in the back end of the playoff picture, which means less tanking. So I think it serves that purpose. I think that this year in particular, the Western Conference is going to be a tremendous – spectacle. Put that back. Yeah, the spectacle on the Western Conference. Again, the Clippers, when we chatted last, which was what, 2 weeks ago or a week ago, Santi?
2 weeks ago. Feels like yesterday, yeah. But it was 2 weeks ago.
The Clippers, I believe, were 5 or 6 games over 500. And now they've lost 5 in a row with Russell Westbrook. And now they're 34-33, and they're 8th. They were 4th, now they're 8th. So one bad week, you know, 10 bad days, 5 bad games, and you're, you know, they're 2 spots from being out of the playoff picture. It's crazy.
It could hurt you.
And their team, that's another matter. They have a deep roster, but they completely turned it upside down at the All-Star break. And I'm not sure why they did it. And that's a long way of saying I don't know why they picked up Russell Westbrook, who has been productive from a stat standpoint. But they're 0-5. 0-5. Yeah.
That's not good. And Russell Westbrook, new team. Not sure if he's all there again. Also, yesterday, the Lakers defeated the Warriors without LeBron James, 113-105. Steph Curry's first game back since February 4th. So it was a huge game on primetime. Anthony Davis, he's coming through. Scored 39 points, including 12 in the fourth quarter. And Lakers hold on to a victory. Curry came back, 27 points. That's not bad when coming back. Austin Reeves from the Lakers had 16 points, and Brown had 14 for the Lakers as they moved within a half game of New Orleans Pelicans for the 10th place in the Western Conference and for the final play-in spot. This Lakers team is looking good without LeBron. They're 2-10.
They're much better. They are much better than they were before the All-Star break. Rob Pelinka took a lot of shit for his performance in trying to bring in help for LeBron. But when push came to shove, I think they did a tremendous job bringing in basically three starters, Russell, Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. Jared Vanderbilt is perfect complement to Davis on the front line. They can play him as four. But like they're doing now with LeBron, you know, out, they can play him as a three. If they want to bring in another big guy, they can play him in the middle because he can guard centers. He's that long. He's a really good sort of Gumby-esque malleable player for them. But again, they're going nowhere without LeBron. Everyone knows that. And Anthony Davis, every time he goes down, you don't know if he's going to get up. So. Yeah. I don't really think of them as a threat unless they're completely healthy at the play-in, and then they can be very hard to beat. But I don't think they're going to make it.
Yeah, Lakers, LeBron James is out for 3 weeks. I think he has two more weeks left, and then they're going to reevaluate his foot. He had a foot injury. Is it me, or is LeBron kind of – he should be on his way out because so many injuries has been like sparkling on him this past couple of years?
Well, yes, he's on his way out. He's old. He's really old. And he's always played a very physical game. He's not sitting outside like Steph Curry shooting threes. He's in there banging. The end is drawing nigh, as they said. But I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to get himself into a situation next year where he was not such a primary featured player, where there was less pressure on him to play every single night. I mean, if he doesn't play, this team is going nowhere. He knows it. The Lakers know it. AD knows it. He has been known to engineer moves in the past to different situations, and he might appear to be committed to the Lakers, but I don't put anything past LeBron. He is on his way out. He knows it. I think he wants to stick around for his son to play with. That seems very strange to me and a bit idealistic. But we'll see. I don't worry about the Lakers too much. I would love to see them in the play-in because I think they will be dangerous, but I don't think it's going to get that far. Think about this. 3 weeks from now, when they reevaluate his foot, number one, that means he's not coming back for a month, basically. What happens if he's not ready to come back? They're going to shut it down. They're not going to play AD. They're this close to shutting it down. So I think I'm not too worried about what the Lakers might do, and I'm not sure that the teams ahead of them are that worried either.
I agree. Warriors, Steph Curry, 27 points. Klay Thompson, 22. Draymond Green, 15. And Jordan Poole, 10. Is that would you say this Warriors team needs a Steph Curry to get him deep in the playoffs?
Of course, but they can't win on the road. And they're not going to have home court for more than a round at best, if that. So this team has got the same issues it's had. It cannot win on the road. It couldn't. That game was in Los Angeles yesterday, right?
It was in L.A. Yep. Crypto.
Yeah. They can't win. They can't win against LeBron. LeBron's team without LeBron. I don't know what their road record is, but it's terrible, and it's not getting better. And I don't see why Steph will change any of that. It's a very strange team.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We'll see what happens. Plagued with injuries, of course, but that's nothing new with the Warriors. Last night, your Celtics lose against the New York Knicks at the TD Garden last night. RJ Barrett, 29 points from the Knicks. An incredible game. Julius Randle, 31. Emmanuel Quickly, 38. And for the Green, Tatum, 40 points. Jaylen Brown, 29. Horford, 20. This went to double overtime, Hal, last night. This could be a rivalry, but what were your thoughts over this game?
Well, I think for the greater good, the NBA is better when the Celtics and the Knicks are both decent, because that's a good rivalry that we haven't really had for many years. So the Knicks have been terrible. There has been no rivalry. Now they're pretty good, and now they've beaten, I think, the Celtics 3 out of 4 times. So that's good for the NBA. As a Celtics fan, I'm completely mystified by this team, which had a terrible weekend. They blew a 28-point lead against the Nets on Friday night and lost. Then they lose this game to the Knicks, which they could have lost 3 times. Each time they had to struggle to get it into overtime. Manu Quickly, 38 points. Check out that stat line at the left. 55 minutes he played. An amazing performance from the Knicks. I got to give my congrats to them, because they played very, very well. And they're a different team. They're a different team, really, since Josh Hart showed up. They don't have to rely on RJ Barrett to be a scorer, although he did score yesterday. They don't have to rely so much on that group of 5 starters. The bench is a little deeper. They're just that much deeper. And I don't think anybody wants to play them. I think they're as good as Cleveland right now. Cleveland's not playing its best basketball as the season comes to a close. And that right now would be the 4 or 5 matchup, and that's a toss-up.
Yeah, and your Celtics, of course, Tatum, 40 points, Brown, 29, Hal Horford, 20, Marcus Smart with 13 points, Derek White, 12 points. So Celtics have to do better with New York teams, don't they?
I don't understand, honestly, what has happened with the team. They're healthier than they've been in a while. They got Marcus Smart back. They have the deepest, most complete roster in the league, I think.
I like the Celtics. I mean, they had an incredible run last year.
Yeah. And they really found their way. Tatum is even better. All their key players are better than they were last year. Rob Williams even seems to be healthy-ish. But they're a complete mystery to me. They've got a rookie coach who doesn't seem to like to call timeouts or tell his team much of anything. I can't tell whether he's just a hands-off guy or he doesn't really want to get in the way of what the veterans want to do. It's hard to know. And they're obviously very good. They're 45 and 20, but these 2 games that they've just lost, just terrible. You got to win those games. They're both of them at home.
For you, Hal. Knicks are in a 9-game winning streak, so I don't know if that helps.
No, it does not help.
Okay. Well, Bucks are number 1. Boston's number 2. 76ers at 3. 4 Cavaliers. 5 Knicks. 6 Nets. 7 Heat. 8 Hawks, 9 Raptors, and 10 Wizards. Do you see this table fluctuating, or this is what you're going to see in April?
I think there will be some fluctuation at the bottom, but none of it will be consequential. The only team that, unlike the West, where I think a team like the Lakers, if they get in, you don't want to play them. A team like the Clippers, you know, could finish 9th or 10th and have to play their way in. You don't want to play them. They're very good. The one team that you could say that about in the East is the Raptors. Since they picked up Jakob Poeltl, they're a different team. They're 7-3 over the last 10. They floundered. It's not really clear why. They're really playing just one guard now with Fred VanVleet. And they're big, and they can run. They're a very dangerous team. They're playing better. And they wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, go past the Hawks and maybe even challenge the Heat over the next month. But are those people going to beat the Celtics and the Bucks? I don't see it. I don't think any of those teams can beat the 76ers if they end up playing them in a series. It seems a little more top-heavy in the East. For a long time this year, we thought the East was a more deep conference than the West, but all these trades have changed that. And I think we're looking at the status quo here. No one wants to play the Heat either. And if the Celts play the Heat in a 2-7, you know, once the play-in is done, I will be not happy, because I don't want to play the Heat.
Yeah, Miami Heat have not an intense, solid rivalry, but they do have Their blows here and there. I remember back in 2010 with Paul Pierce. I think you guys beat us or something in like six games or seven games. We're up 2-3-1 series, and you guys came back and won it. I'm not sure if you remember that.
Well, I was looking at this the other day, Santi, back in 2008, 9, 10, 11, maybe just not starting in 2009. Podcasting was a very young medium. And anybody could give it a whirl. So I did have a basketball podcast called The Glamour Profession. Little Steely Dan call out for you there. And that was, you know, the Celtics and the Heat had an incredible rivalry back in the day. On either side of, you know, the Celtics being very good from 2008 to 2010, two finals appearance, one, you know, crown. And then the Heat, LeBron shows up, they won all those championships. But each time they did, they had incredible series with the Celtics. So the Celtics-Heat rivalry goes back to 2008, 9, 10. And from there, it just took off. So they've always been good. And I just think the world of Spoelstra, he figures out ways to win. He's about as good a coach as there is in the NBA.
I agree. Yeah, with not the best roster, he gets it done. All right. Moving on from the NBA, I believe it could have been the game of the day, depending on if you were a big NBA star, but Liverpool defeated Man United 7-0, a touchdown, two goals by Gapco, two goals by Darwin Nunez, two goals by Salah, and one goal by Firmino. All those guys were happy. Klopp was freaking happy. I was surprised. Okay, maybe 3-0, but seven goals? And Man United won the EFL Cup a week ago. So they were, like, pretty confident. But this was really strange. What were your thoughts?
I watched the better part of the first hour of this match. And I think that Gakpo didn't score the first goal until just before halftime, 43rd minute, right?
Yep,
so that is correct. So this was not out of hand. And early in this match, Bruno Fernandes had a header on the doorstep, couldn't put it in. They had chances. Then they fell behind, and then immediately after halftime, they give up a goal. And then they just collapse. That's, I guess, what is unusual. And if I was a Manchester United fan, which I'm not, I would be worried about, because that was a real collapse. And it's sort of a house of cards situation. It's unusual for a professional side of any caliber, much less a team that's been as hot and capable as Man U has over the last 2 months, to just throw in the towel or lose their cohesion and concentrate. I mean, they gave up some terrible goals there at the end, and Liverpool could not have been happier to pile on.
I would say my favorite goal was Gakpo. He, like, took that ball in. I think he dribbled the ball in, and he just scored it. That was one of my favorite goals. But, you know, overall, there was a sign of relief for Liverpool because they have been not having a good season. They have losses, and they lost against Real Madrid about 2 weeks ago, 5-2, which they'll face again next week. So it was a sign of relief. I'm not saying Liverpool is going to win the league. I think it's a little bit more of Arsenal side of things. But I think they're going to give some hope. And I think we could – I would say could hesitantly finish in the top four and make the Champions League. But, like, how do you think Liverpool will finish off this season?
I don't know that. They're obviously playing better now than they have all season. That's good. What's interesting to me, and I'm not a neutral, I'm a Tottenham fan, but what's interesting to me more broadly is looks like we have a race amongst 7, 8, 9 teams for those top slots. If Liverpool, where do they stand now, Santi? You probably know.
I would. I think they're standing at fifth place. So let me pull up the table, which is slowly loading. Oh, there it is.
I don't think they're that high, are they?
Yeah, they're in
fifth spot,
right behind Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought they were still down at sixth or seventh, but and Chelsea, I don't think, is dead quite yet. Fulham's Newcastle was in the top four for the last month and a half. Maybe they're done. I just can't believe Tottenham is still where they are, because they've been terrible. Every time I turn around, they've lost, and they're still
one against Leicester.
Yeah, exactly. It was terrible. But I guess it's actually this table, now that you pull it up for me, is starting to look a little bit more like what we expected at the start of the season. Those five teams at the top are all next to each other, and they're well bunched. That's fun. I don't want Manchester City and Arsenal running away with it. I want them to come back to the pack. It doesn't look like that's happening necessarily, but Manchester United's still within striking distance of them. One of the things that I always puzzle over is the way the English media, and I'm not going to generalize entirely, but football media in large part, they love to say, well, that's over. Arsenal's got it wrapped up. They have nothing wrapped up. And two losses or a loss and a tie where they're supposed to get full points, and they're in deep doo-doo. And Man City is right there. Now, does Tottenham have a chance? No. Not, but I think Manchester United does. And they've got a game in hand. They win that game. They're only 6 points behind Man City. So there's 12 games left in the season. There's 38 games in the season. So they're really only two-thirds of the way done. So I don't claim any great prognosticating capability or knowledge here. I like the idea that all these teams are in the mix. I like that Tottenham hasn't fallen out yet, even though I can't believe it hasn't happened. I love watching Fulham and Brighton play. They're so good. And look at Brentford. Brentford has played tremendous football. I think they have a game this afternoon, don't they?
They do. It's Fulham versus Brentford. Yes, Fulham versus Brentford at Brentford. So we'll see what Tim Ream does there.
Great matchup and great season for Fulham, too. They're into the final eight in the FA Cup. I think they play Brighton. So interesting stuff there. I'm excited to watch the EPL. I have my Peacock subscription in place. I'm poised to cancel it at any moment. Should Tottenham fall out of it, but for now I'm going to live it up.
Yeah, and the thing is, with Peacock, at the determine which matches are on Peacock and whatnot. So, interesting football, world football standings and scores. All right, so let's go into predictions. Champions League returns tomorrow. Chelsea at Dortmund. Dortmund is up 1-0 in aggregate. Hal, who will take it?
Is that game at home?
It's in Dortmund, in Germany.
It's in Dortmund. I don't see how you can pick Chelsea. They've been terrible. On the road against a talented side, they're going to probably give up a bunch of goals. So I guess I'll take Dortmund and hope that Gio Reyna gets time. Interesting that Gio Reyna is not starting for Dortmund and is coming off the bench as a super sub. It's too bad we couldn't have come up with an idea like that for our own national team.
I've seen that somewhere before. Anyways, Bayern Munich at PSG. There's no Neymar. He's out for the season. He has an ankle injury, possibly surgery. And let me tell you the aggregate, which I totally forgot about the aggregate here.
2-1.
No, it's on Wednesday. Yeah, it is 1-0 Bayern Munich. They're up by a goal.
Bayern Munich is up a goal?
Yep.
I thought Mbappe, I must be thinking of something else. So, but that game was played in Paris. They're playing this game in Munich, right?
And this game will be in Paris on Wednesday.
Oh, I got that wrong. That's a tough one. I'm going to say that that PSG probably is better without their three studs on the field at all at one time, and they bring on someone to replace Neymar who might play some defense, and they win. So I'm taking PSG.
PSG wins it, goes to the quarters. And finally, Milan at Tottenham. Milan is up by one goal in the aggregate, and this is AC Milan, not Inter Milan.
That is correct, and they were lucky, Tottenham was, to only lose 1-0 in the first leg down in Milan. I'm taking Tottenham because they're my team, and they should be able to put some goals on the board against AC Milan, who they aren't that good. I watched that first leg. Do you pay for Paramount Plus, Santi?
I do, and I like their production.
It's good. It is good. I don't know that I care enough about the Champions League to pay for it, but I may just invest my $5 to watch just the Tottenham match, and then I'll get gravy until next month. I mean, $5. I've heard people talk. I've talked to the late, great Grant Wall about this on his podcast in November. It'd be nice if there was one service that sort of bundled all of these streaming things, so you pay maybe $20 and you get all of them at once, or maybe you get a little bit of a discount. But the reality is $5 for Peacock a month and $5 for Paramount Plus a month. That is not even a craft beer in a can. You know, one beer a month. If I can give up one beer a month to watch Champions League, I'm probably going to do it. So maybe they jack the price up on us when we get fat and happy with these streaming services, Santi. But it's a pretty good deal for now, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. It is a good deal right now. And there is a caveat. A lot of these games are showed on CBS. So if you do have local antenna television is still around, you can use the antenna and watch it on CBS, whatever channel it is on your.
Wait a minute. I thought it was on CBS Sports Network. It's not on actual CBS TV,
yep.
Is it?
Big CBS. Yep. Really? Big CSI CBS.
I have. The CSI network. Very good. I didn't know that. I saw that. I have YouTube TV and it is, they are available, but I just assumed it was the sports network, but good for them.
Yeah. And if you watch the Europa League, I recommend watching the Golasso show. It's like a NFL Red Zone. They jump around each game, any goal or any play. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Love it.
That is all right. Fun. I've done that on the Europa League kind of stuff, everyone's, because I don't care about the Europa League, but I'll watch goals.
Which Tottenham is very familiar with the Europa League. Random poll question of the day. What goes best with Oreos, Hal? Options are milk, ice cream, cheesecake, or brownies.
Oh. Well, milk goes great, but nothing goes better than cheesecake.
Oreo cheesecake, it is a winner. So far, milk is winning 80%, ice cream at 10%, cheesecake at 10%, brownies, 0%. So
who's getting polled besides me, Santi? This is people calling in?
No, via Twitter. So this is a Twitter poll. Via Twitter, sure. And milk is winning substantially.
So, milk is running away with it.
Milk wins with Oreos, which I kind of do agree with that. Anyways, Hal, what is the best way to reach you online and also about your book, Generation Zero?
Mandarin Hal is the best way to reach me via Twitter, as you can see below. Generation Zero, available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. It's the story of Americans' rise from an also-ran to a proper football nation. Anyone who cares about the national soccer teams in America should check it out. It is a bestseller after that.
And also, I heard Christian Pulisic might be available for tomorrow's match against Dortmund.
That would be very interesting. Of course, another Dortmund product, Mr. Pulisic. And now they're talking about, remember when he went to Chelsea and it was like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest thing and he's going to have trouble getting time. Well, geez, I think he's probably trying to get out of there.
I think so.
And there's 40 guys there. 40 guys they're paying. There's nobody. How do you get time there?
Yeah, it's hard to beat that roster. I heard Atletico, Newcastle, even Man United might be interested, but we'll see. These are just rumors, and I hope the main thing for him to have some playing time. So
yes, but I don't want him to go to Newcastle and get whacked. He'll be a featured player there, and he might get targeted. I don't think he'll get time at Man U, but Newcastle would at least present him the opportunity to play. If he's healthy, that's what we want.
Exactly. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter. You can vote on your favorite Oreo recipe or your Oreo, whatever that we have not mentioned. There might be Oreo pudding. There's probably that exists. Anyways, and of course, thesportscast.net. This Wednesday is the top 25. We'll talk about a little bit about college basketball and the winnings on there. Anyways, Hal, full sports day. I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Always a pleasure, Santi.
And this was your update.